things that have made me the writer that I am are not necessarily the things that anybody has read or seen. You know, showing up and just working at anything, whether it ends up being a novel or not, is part of how I grow my sensibility as a writer.
Hello and welcome back to In Writing with me, Hattie Crissell. You probably didn't know if you were going to be hearing from me again because it has been quite a long gap since the last series. I took a break to finish my creative writing MA, which is now done and dusted, but I can't tell you how excited I am to be back with a new series of interviews. The voice you just heard there was that of the novelist Ayobami Adebayo. Ayobami is a remarkable talent. Her debut novel, Stay With Me, came out in 2017, won the 9 Mobile Prize for Literature and was shortlisted for the Bailey's Prize for Women's Fiction and the Wellcome Book Prize. It's now been translated into 20 languages and the French translation won the Prix Les Afriques. I could go on because it did achieve several other honours, but instead I'm going to tell you that Ayobami followed it with her second novel, A Spell of Good Things, which came out last week. We had a wonderful conversation for this episode, and I was fascinated to hear about her painstaking editing and redrafting process, which involves several documents and different fonts. I'll let her explain the details. She's also good on the apprenticeship of writing. She's had a lot of success over the years in applying for fellowships, residencies, and prizes, and we talk about that in this episode. She had some really useful things to say about how those opportunities can help a talented writer. We recorded this in November. I was in London and Ayobami was in Lagos, Nigeria. I apologise that the sound isn't always crystal clear, but the good news is that with the pandemic now somewhat calmer in the UK, I have been able to record lots of the interviews this series face to face. Unfortunately, my budget didn't quite stretch to flying out to Lagos. I think this is a particularly good episode for anybody who is feeling frustrated by how slow and incremental the writing life can feel. Ayobami has great patience and she has a very philosophical approach to the work and makes the case that all writing is worthwhile, even the writing that might in the moment feel like it's been a tangent or a failure. A quick note, since the last series I've launched an In Writing newsletter. It's a free newsletter, it's on all things writing process related, it's maybe a little bit more personal than the podcast, but it's also become the home of an In Writing community. If you can stretch to it, there's a paid tier, which is £6 a month, and that allows you to join in with a live writing hour that we do on Google Meet every couple of weeks, plus a thread on Substack where you can discuss your own writing successes or woes with other members of the community, or share brilliant articles or books or podcasts that you've come across. You can find all of this at inwriting.substack.com, so do go and have a look. One more thing before we get started. I'm delighted to say that this season of In Writing is sponsored by Curtis Brown Creative, the renowned writing school run by the Literary and Talent Agency. Since launching in 2011, over 180 of their students have gone on to get major book deals, including critically acclaimed authors Bonnie Garmus, Jane Harper and Kirsty Capes. CBC offers a wide range of online writing courses designed to help you no matter what your current skill level is. People at the start of their writing journey might want to try the 4-week Creative Writing for Beginners course led by author and founder of CBC, Anna Davis. It's designed to unleash your imagination, give you the confidence to put pen to paper, and get you working on your own creation. Plus, all students have the opportunity to get feedback from one of CBC's fiction editors. Curtis Brown Creative have provided an exclusive discount for In Writing listeners. Use the code INWRITING20 for £20 off the full price of Creative Writing for Beginners or any other 4 or 6 week online course. Visit curtisbrowncreative.co.uk to find out more. But now, over to Ayobami describing the room where she writes.
So it's got a wall that has a bookshelf, you know, so the whole wall's covered in books, a lot of books in there. And then there's two other walls, and on those I have some art. So there's about 3 frames. And there's my desk, which is connected to the bookshelf. some right next to the shelf. And then opposite me, there's a sofa that can sit about two people. And sometimes I sit there just to read or take a break when I'm working. So yeah, that's what it looks like.
That sounds very cozy and sounds like quite a comforting place to be with the books and the sofa and the art.
Yeah, I like it.
And what would you say are the most important items in that room?
I think, first of all, it's the books. My proximity to them is comforting. There are times when maybe I'm stuck or I'm just tired. I just pull off a book and read a chapter or read a paragraph. And many times that can get me back into the frame of mind and to the space that I need to be in to work. And there are a few favorites, but most of the time I just pull anything off the shelf, you know, and get into it. Opposite to me, like when I sit down and I look across the room, there's a frame that my husband gave to me. I think it was December of 2020. And I was trying to finish A Spell of Good Things, which is my second novel, and I was having some difficulty. So he designed a cover for it and gave it to me as a gift. And I put it there since then. And after that, I would often just look at that cover, and it really helped me to keep going.
That's so sweet.
Yes, incredibly sweet.
What's on the cover that he designed? Is it similar at all to the cover the book has actually gone with?
No, not at all. It's got, the font is yellow, the title is in yellow font, and my name is in white. And it's really pretty. I quite like it. And it's this secret thing that kept me going. And I'll probably share it at some point closer to publication.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've had it for 2 years now.
Yeah, that's a lovely vote of confidence from your husband.
Yeah.
And are you writing anything at the moment?
I think so. I'm writing, I think I've started working on what is another novel. But for me, it takes such a long time for me to feel confident enough about something new that I've started. So I think I'm about maybe 10,000 words into it, but I need to do like four times that number of words to feel that I actually have something that will eventually become a novel, or that will become a novel soon enough. So yes.
Is it common for you that you might get to the 10,000 word mark and then decide, actually, this isn't going to work? I mean, are there, I don't want to say abandoned novels, but are there are there beginnings of things that you hoped would be novels and then decided they wouldn't be?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of stuff on the computer. Yeah. You know, I have a folder where I save so many things that I cut or decide not to continue working on. Just because it's easier to feel that it might be useful at some point than to just cut it and throw it away. So yes, I do have, I've had at least about two ideas, but I mean, I do think I will finish them, quite honestly. But in one instance, I didn't feel I was ready to write that book. I didn't feel that I was skilled enough to write that book yet, and so I just put it aside, and maybe in a few years I'll go back to it and read it and then maybe continue, maybe not. So yes, I do have at least a couple of
let's say they're resting.
Novels in progress.
Yeah. I've actually come to think of that as quite an exciting thing, because I have, you know, various things that I've started over the years and given up on, but I've come to think of them as sort of just exciting glimpses of something that I might work on in the future, because I do think that work comes around sometimes. Sometimes you just aren't ready to write something.
Yes. And I also really think that with writing, everything helps.
Yeah.
You know, that I feel that the things that have made me the writer that I am are not necessarily the things that anybody has read or seen, you know, that showing up and just working at anything, whether it ends up being a novel or not, is part of how I grow, you know, my sensibility as a writer. So I'm not necessarily too bothered when something, it's clear to me that something is not going anywhere at the moment, because I think that that time is always valuable in terms of just my own apprenticeship as a writer.
I love that. So, I mean, you talk about showing up. Are you somebody who writes every day or most days? Do you have a kind of routine with your writing?
It depends on what stage I'm in with the project, with a particular thing I'm working on. With first drafts, I have to show up every day. Or I try to show up every day, or at least every weekday. Because the way I work on the first draft is that I give myself a word count and I just keep going. So I could decide, for instance, to write 1,000 words every day until I get to the end of a draft. And I have to get the 1,000 words in. And a lot of this is honestly rubbish. And even as I'm writing it, I'm like, yeah, this is not going to get into this book. But I need to get through that. I need to walk through all the ideas that are coming to my mind in relation to the book. So with the first draft, I'm pretty consistent. I'm going at it every day with a word count in mind. And then I get to the end of that, and usually I take a break from it. Probably, I mean, depends. Sometimes a month, sometimes a couple of months. And then I come back to read what I've written. And that's when I really feel that I actually start working on a novel or on a story or on an essay. Because then I start revising and tinkering with things. So I go that way again, that the second or the third time I still have a word count. So I usually do this thing where I have a Word document that's got, like, say, maybe 10,000 words. If it's maybe a short story or an essay, I have 10,000 words. And then I open another document. I open two other documents. And then I copy maybe 100 words to a second document and work on about half of that. And then at some point, I start copying it sentence by sentence into the third document.
Talk me through that a bit more, because I can't quite get my head around that.
Okay. So this is after I've done about at least two or three drafts.
Right. Just to ask a very basic question, what would you define as a draft? Because I think, I mean, we talk a lot about drafts, but in practice, I think it's quite a hazy, you know, how do you know when you have a draft? How do you know when you have a second draft?
I mean, for me, with the first draft, it's pretty easy. Like, it means nothing existed before, and now I have 100,000 words or 70,000 words.
Okay.
And that's a draft. Sometimes I get to the end. Sometimes I get very close to the end. Maybe the penultimate chapter, and then I just want to leave the last chapter unwritten. The second draft usually means that I have gone back to the beginning to clean up the draft, clean it up to the point where another human being understands what I'm saying. Because for me, the first draft is really messy. I have things in caps. Sometimes I just write, what does this mean? One could have ended with, there needs to be a conversation about X and Y, or why does this person do this? So the second draft is me going back to think through those questions that I asked myself, and I go from the beginning usually to the end again. And by the third draft, I'm thinking about how things connect to each other. I'm thinking about more than I do at the beginning about the structure, about how with the two novels I've done multiple points of views. So that's the point where I start thinking about what chapter is actually the first chapter in this book. Sometimes it's chapter 7, you know, in the second draft. And then I start sort of moving things around, usually in the third draft. I think the third draft is usually about structure for me and just the architecture behind everything. That's the architecture that makes it feel seamless, because that's one of the things I really like when I'm reading, or that I try to do, is just to have things seem to flow into each other in a way that is almost natural or necessary by the time you get to the end of the book. So that's the third draft, usually. And then that's when I now start going chapter by chapter and paragraph by paragraph. So the process I was describing earlier is that I usually have three Word documents open at that point. So I have the manuscript, and then I have two blank documents. So from the manuscript, I would take usually no more than 1,000 words at a time, place that in, say, document 2, and just read it from top to bottom a few times.
And so at this stage, are you looking for the most... Is it a matter of making the language as elegant as it can be and as tight as it can be? Or what are you doing at this very close editing stage?
Yes, that stage is mostly about the language for me. A number of other things will come up just because you're going over it again and you realize someone was 50 years old 2 years ago and now they're 45. Sometimes you notice that at that stage. So there are all those things that come up. But really, I'm reading for language. I'm reading for how one paragraph flows into another and how a chapter, for instance, begins and ends, and what each sentence is saying, how the sentences sound. So I'm just looking very closely at everything sentence by sentence. So on document 2, I have 1,000 words and I go through that paragraph by paragraph. So when I'm done working on the first paragraph, for instance, I change the font to a different font and then I read it again one final time and then I copy it to the third document, which is now like the new manuscript file. Mm-hmm. It's just how I work at that stage. For me, it helps me to be thorough and detailed in looking at things at the sentence level.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really impressed with how painstaking that is. Do you at any point think, God, I'm so bored of looking at this book that I've been, you know, and I can't even see it straight anymore? And do you ever reach that stage?
Absolutely. I think it usually happens like at least 2 or 3 times before the book is published. Mm. What I do is I just take a break. And then sometimes it's a month, sometimes all I need is a week. Try to work on something else or get immersed in like a really big novel. Mm. Just read something that is like 500 pages, and then I can come back to it and it can feel new.
Yeah.
You know, there's point closer to publication usually where I'm like, I cannot read this again. But then I do.
Of course. And just going back a little bit, when do you remember first being interested in writing as a child, I suppose?
Yes, it was as a child, definitely. I remember that by the time I was 9, I already had at least one notebook in which I was writing poems and plays for some reason. Those were the two things I was writing. And I remember this very vividly because I got into trouble in school once because instead of copying the notes, I was writing poetry while the teacher was in class, which was usually what I spent my time doing in school. And I had to go to the staff room and be punished for that.
Yeah. Well, I hope that teacher regrets it now that you're a very successful novelist. Would you talk me through a little bit your journey to becoming a professional writer?
I mean, I think that I sort of made that decision as a teenager, really. By the time I was about 14, I'd started writing short stories, you know, and I remember that during the holidays, that was one of the things I would do, that I would pick a notebook and decide to fill it up before the end of the holidays. And usually I'll have my mom help me type it up because I wasn't allowed to use the computer on my own yet. And she would type it up and print it out for me. And I remember there was a popular TV series in Nigeria called Super Story. I didn't know what to do yet, you know, at that time. Like, how do I get from writing this to having people interact with the writing in some kind of way? So I remember once sending a story to them.
What was the TV show called? You cut out a bit.
It was called Super Story.
Okay.
And I remember once sending them a story by post. I must have been about 16 or so. I don't even know if they got it, but I never heard back. and I'm sure the story was very bad at that point. And then I got into the university and I was very fortunate to meet a few friends who were also interested in writing. And they were very foundational for me because we then became a group of friends who would share work and sort of critique each other's stories. At that point, I was writing short stories mostly. I hadn't tried to write a novel at all. Critique each other's short stories, submit for competitions, submit to anthologies. I think we had a bit of success. And after university, I then decided that I was going to do an MA in creative writing. And I think it was really during the MA that it was very clear to me what I needed to do professionally, you know, in terms of how publishing really worked, how to submit my stories, how to pitch to an agent and all of that. But the foundational years for me began when I was in the university as an undergraduate in Nigeria, and the network of friends that I had at the time, some of who I'm still friends with a number of them now, who were my first readers and first critics.
It's interesting that a community of writers can really help you move forward, even though writing is such a solitary thing in its sort of most basic form, but the community really helps, I think.
Absolutely. I think it does. And particularly, I think that, I don't know, I mean, for me, one of the things I struggled with, say, into my mid to late 20s was wondering if any of it was any good or if it made any sense, you know. But having a community of people who are honest with you, for me, it was very vital. You know, I had people who could tell me, well, this was good, but that did not work, you know.
And often I think when you get that feedback, there's a part of you that maybe already knew that something wasn't working.
Yeah.
But you were just trying not to notice. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And now you have to confront it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've received several fellowships and residencies. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that because I think that's a really important potential route for a writer. Mm. But it's something that not everybody maybe thinks about or, you know, thinks that they should apply for. Would you talk a bit about the role that those fellowships and residencies had in your development as a writer?
Absolutely. So I went on my first residency in 2012. And I mean, I remember I was there for, I think, about a month. It was a month. And in that time, I was able to do more work on my first novel than I had done maybe in the past year. So first thing is I absolutely recommend them to anyone who's wondering if it's worth the while. And I think they provide two vital things. The first is the space, not just a physical space, but a mental space to focus on writing. Because I think in before my first residency, you know, I was in university and then I was doing an MA in literature at the time. And for me, there was often the sense that when I was writing, I should be doing something else. There was always something else that I was supposed to be doing, whether it was studying for my exams or working on my thesis. And being on the residency, I didn't feel any pressure to do anything else. One of the great bonus, I think, that quite a number of them also have is that usually, often there's someone who's taking care of your meals. So it's like, it's this space of time where, for me, I can really immerse myself into whatever it is I'm working on at that point in time. And apart from that, there's usually other writers or other artists in residence. So the socializing that you do is with people who are walking through some of the questions you're working through with your own work, or who have resolved that for themselves in some kind of way, so that you could, for instance, spend the whole day working. For me, with that first residence, I would walk through the day and we would meet just once in a day for dinner, and I could spend dinner talking about adverbs, you know. There are very few parties or dinners that you go for where, for me, I wouldn't feel like I'm boring the other person how, you know, discussing adverbs and making a case for or against them. And so this is, for me, the two vital things that they provide, just the time to immerse yourself. If you're someone that struggles with just giving yourself the space to do what you really want to do when you have other commitments, it can really help because, you know, this is what I'm supposed to be doing right now. I'm on this residency, I'm here to write. And then just being around other people who are thinking and writing and creating in some kind of way.
Sounds wonderful. Stay with me. Yeah. So it was shortlisted in 2013 for the Kwani Manuscript Project as a work in progress. And I know it came out, it was published 4 years after that. So how much of the manuscript was in place at that point when you were shortlisted?
I think about 70% of it. I think that the draft that was shortlisted was probably the third one.
Mm.
And I can't remember the number of drafts I did on that novel, but it was probably like 7 or 8. So the structure was very different in 2013. So right now, it's sort of the stories are interwoven. So you have a few chapters from one perspective, and then you have a chapter from another perspective. That draft, I had one character in the first half of the novel and then another character in the second half of the novel. So it was totally different. I think it was in first and second person. So one character was in first person, the other character was in second person. In the final iteration, both were in first person. So I think in terms of the content, it was about 70% of it was there. But in terms of style and structure, maybe just about 40. So I still had a long way to go with style and structure at that point.
So how long was it from, you know, your first thoughts about Stay With Me to the point where you thought, okay, it's finished?
Okay, so I started thinking about Stay With Me in 2008. But again, I feel like for me, I have ideas and I think about them, I make a few notes, and I say to myself, I'm not ready to write this yet. The idea came to me in 2008, and I knew then that it was going to be a novel and I was going to write it at some point. But I didn't think it would be my first novel, so I just wrote it down and I kept going back to it from time to time. I didn't start writing it until, I think it was 2010. I'd moved to Lagos at that point, and I was working in a bank and doing this really intense commute every day. And for the first time in at least a decade of my life, I went for a few months without writing anything. And so I said, writing Stay With Me in some sense, almost out of desperation of saying to myself that this is what I really want to do and I'm going to commit to it by starting on this project. But it was really difficult to write in that context. Most of the time I would only be able to write during the weekend. And sometimes while I was in traffic, I would just, you know, write some things on my phone. So from that was 2010. It was published in 2017. So I guess it was sort of done in 2016. It was done in 2016, late 2015, early 2016. So that took about 5 to 6 years.
Did you have a kind of full plan of the plot before you started writing, or did you figure it out sort of as you went through that first draft?
No, I had nothing. In terms of plot and structure, Stay With Me was sort of the book that helped me to understand that. Really by failing at it, having a few drafts that just fell apart and weren't working. So I didn't have the plot. I think I had story and a character. I had a very strong sense of the characters. And I just had to figure it out as I was going on. And it was really by writing and rewriting that I began to understand how the story was going to unfold and how the characters. And I think the question that ended up hamstring that for me was to think through how the characters will tell the story. Because it's framed as two people who are about to be reunited, almost sort of having this conversation in their head about what happened in their marriage. And once I sort of let go of my own preferences, really, in terms of how I wanted it to be structured, I was able to actually get ahead with that part of the book. It was really understanding the characters better and thinking, why would she say this now? And what would she withhold at this point? And what would he withhold and why? That was what inspired the present structure that the novel has.
It's so fascinating that you can, you know, that a fiction writer can create a character who they end up then almost sort of learning from the character. You know, it's almost like the character at a certain point becomes fully formed enough that they can start to show you the direction that the story should go in. It's just, I find that fascinating. It's like a sort of alchemy.
Yeah, it's for me, I think it's one of the more exciting things. When I get to that point with a story or a novel, that's usually when I really start believing in it, because it then feels for me like there's life, some kind of life in these words, enough for them to make suggestions to me.
Yeah.
Even though I'm supposed to be the one writing.
Yeah. And did you write A Spell of Good Things in a similar way to Stay With Me, or was it a different approach?
It was different. It was different in that, I think, first of all, in that it began in a different way than Stay With Me. So Stay With Me began with a sense of one of the characters, a very strong sense of who she was and the loss that she had suffered, and how that had shaped a mental and emotional landscape. With A Spell of Good Things, it was a little different. It began with something that I noticed. So I was living in a city called Ife at the time, and I'd lived there since I was maybe 7. And at this point, I was probably in my mid-20s, I think. And one day I was coming back from work, and there was some traffic, and I had to take another route to get home. And we drove past the neighborhood that was really, really poor. And I remember thinking, and I was just thinking to myself that I had lived in this city for so long, and I'd never been here, and did not have any sense that this kind of neighborhood was just a few minutes drive from where I lived. And so I started thinking about sort of the things that remain invisible to us, and how people can be invisible to one another even when they're inhabiting the same physical space. So it began with that, and it was just an idea that I had about writing about a city, you know, and the people in it. So with that one, I had to wait for the characters and to sort of come to me. It sounds very almost as if I had little agency in the process, but but really that's what it felt like, you know. So I had this idea for a novel, and I felt like I was waiting for who are the people in this novel. And so it began differently, and the process of writing it was also very different, because I wrote what was initially the first chapter as a short story, you know. So I wrote Eniola. So this chapter was really about Eniola going to Wurala's family to deliver a dress, you know. Mm. And it was just a short story about him entering into the house and interacting with one of the daughters, the younger daughter, actually, and then leaving. And I didn't think it was a novel. So I wrote it as a short story, and just it was just sitting on my computer. And then I started my MA in creative writing, was planning to write another novel. And then I lost that novel. I'd started working on another novel, and then I lost the manuscript. And
you
decided
mean,
to
like a
submit.
computer fault or
Yes.
oh
So I
no.
had gone to the library to print it out, and my computer fell down, and I couldn't retrieve the document
Oh
again.
no.
It was terrible. It was really, really
Oh, I'm so
awful.
sorry.
Yeah. I haven't gone back to that idea just because I still feel traumatized in
Oh
some
yeah.
ways by that experience.
How many words did you have?
I was already, I think I had about 15,000. In fact,
Oh.
the morning I went to print, I'd stayed up all night and written a new chapter.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
It just disappeared. And so the only thing I had, to submit for the workshop, for the HEMI workshop, and I just started the program, was this short story. And once I submitted it, I then decided to write the next chapter. And by the time I wrote the first two chapters, I knew that this was the novel for the idea that I had been working through all this time. So it was a very different process from writing Today With Me, I think.
I had written this next question, and actually I think you've sort of already answered it, but I had written you did so much work for Stay With Me, but you ended up with such a tight and restrained novel. I mean, you're obviously a very, very thorough editor of your own work. You're not somebody who lets things pass if they're not perfect, I suspect. But I think to spend many, many years on something and then end up with Stay With Me, which is it's not overly long, it's yeah, it's written in a very restrained way, and I think that takes huge skill. I mean, what do you sort of credit that to, your ability to do that, to process such a huge amount of work and information and come out of it with such a sort of well-structured product?
How would I put it? It was that I failed my way into it, and I don't say that lightly. Stay With Me was the book that I really thought at some point, I don't know if I would ever finish this. Not in terms of story, but in terms of finding a structure that I felt worked for that story. And because it's such a, the material is very heavy, and there's so much that happened that it was, I think, important by the time I got to like the third draft for the language to get out of the way, in some sense. And particularly because the characters were the ones talking, and I really wanted them to be the ones talking. What do I credit it to? I think it was a, it's just, I just had to do it over and over and over and over again until I sort of had a sense that I was getting somewhere. Yeah, thank you for your, that was very generous of you. Thank you.
No, I mean it.
It was just so many drafts, and
It really
yeah.
paid off. I think it was worth all of those Word documents.
Oh, thank you.
It was enormously successful. And you were still in your 20s when it was published. What was that like? And did it give you confidence for the second novel, or did it get in the way of the second novel, or was it a bit of both?
Was that like it was to be fine, really? I think sometimes it still is, So, I mean, so for instance, it was long listed for the Women's Prize, less than a week after it was published. And I remember the night before, I think the prize long list was announced at midnight. And I'd done what was, I think, the first event in London for it. And, I got back to the flat and I went to bed, and I knew the long list was coming out, but I did not imagine that it would be on it, honestly. So I went to bed and I remember waking up around 6 a.m. and my phone just kept buzzing. And I wondered, what is this about? And I was still active on Twitter at the time. So as one tends to, I picked up my phone and went on Twitter before even checking anything else. And I just saw the notification, the women's prize followed you. And I think that was the moment I said that I thought, what is going on? And I think we stay with me. It was just stupefying, and I was just so grateful for it because, again, it was a book that took me a really long time to finish, and also took a while to get an editor or publisher that would believe in it, and to have it do as well as it did. I'm just grateful, that things turned out that way the first time, the first go. So we stay with me in the second novel. I think, like you said, it's a bit of both. I think in some way it gave me some confidence, for one, I sort of had the sense that there would be publishers who were interested in the second book. Because with a debut, as a writer, you're really going into the unknown. I don't know if anybody goes in totally certain that they're going to get that book deal with the very first book they've written, And I'd started working on A Spell of Good Things precisely because I thought to myself, Stay With Me might not be the first book I publish. I need to get going on another book now and continue working on another novel. So by the time Stay With Me was published, I'd written about maybe 50,000 words for A Spell of Good Things. The fact that Stay With Me did that well gave me some confidence, but it also meant that I needed to get out of my own mind. There's a kind of freedom I think that you have with a first book that I'm not sure you ever get back. And it's the freedom of not having an awareness of how an audience might interact with your work, and which Stay With Me, I was not self-conscious in the initial stages of working on it. So I needed to get out of my own head with the second novel and try to get into that space again where I'm really writing for myself, at least until I have to talk to an editor. I'm really trying to get the internal logic of the novel itself and stay true to that. And stay faithful to that without thinking to myself, oh, somebody might think this is too this, or somebody might think this is too that. I feel for me that those are questions that I need to answer much later in the process. In order to keep going, I can't be writing just because I know that, oh, this is going to play really well.
Is there anything that you find particularly challenging as a writer?
I mean, I wanted to say everything, but I think for me, there's all kinds of things at different points. So when I start, for instance, sometimes for me it's challenging to keep going. I guess some of it might just be self-doubt, because I mean, when you really think about it, it can be a somewhat challenging thing to take on, that you have this idea and you think that you can create something from it that would keep another person's attention for hours, So sometimes with the initial draft, I think that And which is why for me, I try to be very disciplined about it, whether I feel it's working or I feel it's not working, I just keep going. I struggle less with subsequent drafts. I think I enjoy rewriting, you know, quite a lot, perhaps too much. With the first draft, the blank one, it can be intimidating at times. So that's one thing that, hasn't changed yet.
Do you remember at any point in your writing career so far, any pieces of advice that you've received or any sort of breakthrough moments for you that really made a significant difference to your writing?
Absolutely. I think someone said to me once, and I'm trying to remember who it was precisely. I was in a workshop space, so I can't remember exactly who it was, but I remember the context that it was a workshop space. And, you know, the person said, you know, in Christianity, you know, the narrative, the story in Genesis is that it took God 7 days to create the world. And he said, you know, why would you take you any less time or any less in terms of how many times you go at it to create a world, you know, in a book that is as convincing as the one people are living in? And I think it just helped me to trust my process, because I definitely am not one of the writers who's able to do a clean draft the first time or the second time. You know, things are always for me still quite easy at those stages. And I think about that comment quite a bit, you know, that the world that I live in, whether it's my living room or it's my sitting room, it took a while for me to put it together. You know, if I'm trying to put together, say, a physical space in a novel, I should give myself some grace, you know, to take time to create something that would really, you know, leap up off the page.
Yes. And also I think, you know, the idea for a story is like a drop of water, and then the finished story is like a, you know, an ocean in comparison. The kind of depth and richness that you have to develop, I don't think I really realized that until I started trying to write books. But you know, that the idea is, will it really not take you very far on its own? It's the graft of building this, as you say, this huge world. And that takes time.
Absolutely. And I think that for me, for a very long time, I really thought, I didn't think that it was valid to keep going over the same thing over and over again. I really just thought that if it doesn't come out good the first or the second time that I try it, then it's not good enough, or I'm not good enough, or, you know. But it's really been helpful to me to sort of trust that I can go back to it again and make it a little better, and go back again and make it a little better until it's good enough.
Yeah. And what are you most proud of looking at your writing life so far?
Oh. I think I'm always proud of finishing something. That's it. You know, I think right now I'm most proud of myself for finishing a spell of good things. Just because there's always so many moments in the process where I'm tempted to give up in some way. And when I get to the end, or, you know, done a number of drafts and I feel, okay, now I can send this out, I really do feel very satisfied with myself.
As you should. As you definitely should, Ayobami. thank you so much to Ayobami Adebayo, who I loved speaking to. Her new novel, A Spell of Good Things, is out now. You can find that and her debut, Stay With Me, in the In Writing bookshop. And when you shop there, 10% of your money goes to independent booksellers and 10% comes to me to support the making of this podcast. To find it, go to uk.bookshop.org/shop/in-writing. If you'd like to receive the newsletter, it's at inwriting.substack.com. This week, you can send me any questions you'd like me to answer, and I'll answer them in next week's newsletter. A reminder before we go that if you want to take your writing to the next level, you can start today with Curtis Brown Creative. Use the code INWRITING20 for £20 off the short online writing course of your choice. Visit curtisbrowncreative.co.uk to find out more. That's all for now, but I'll be back next week with a very different kind of writer.